Hello and welcome to the British English Podcast. I'm currently in a different place to my usual setting. I'm in the dining room of my grandparents' or my late grandparents' house, and opposite me is my fiance, Stacey. Hello, Stacey.
Hello there.
How are you?
I'm good. A little tired.
We're both tired.
Yeah. But yes, we're making this happen.
Yeah. Already thinking this is not going to work. I'm convinced it will. Stacey has been thinking of various ideas for us to do today on the podcast. And then we decided to go with a more relaxed approach, just talking about your childhood. Because I think if we delve into your childhood and maybe mine, we will discover some differences among them and therefore help non-native adult British English learners understand a bit more about British culture. If you're not an adult, that's okay. We'll try to be polite. But just to warn you, it is aimed at a mature audience.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go straight into it, Stacey. Where were you born and raised?
I was born and raised, or definitely born, in a city, town, big town, potentially a small city called Redditch, which is very close to Birmingham. But I would actually say, I don't know if I can be clear where I was raised, because I did move around a little bit as a child. Some of it in the very west of the UK, more towards Wales, some of it more in the Midlands, a little bit in Hampshire, which is more near where you are from. So yes, I'm not sure. I'm unclear on where I'm raised.
So do you not have an identity? Do you know where home is?
Home is, I don't want to sound cheesy, but home is...
where I am.
Where you are.
Sorry to get all analytical on you for a second, but from seeing the statistics of what people listen to this show on, it is safe to say that you are most likely using Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, which means you could be missing out on the free worksheet for this specific episode, which teaches you at least 10 phrases totally free. And there's more, because upon getting access to this week's free worksheet, you actually unlock access to every single free worksheet I've ever made, which is well over 100 episodes. So that's 100 times 10. Let me do my calculations. Oh my God, you are losing out on learning a minimum of 1,000 phrases for free. I know, you're thinking, it won't be convenient though. I just want to open my podcast player, select the latest episode, and get on with my day. Well, I know that feeling all too well. So I went and built an app for this very reason. You can download the app, open the free worksheets, and listen to the latest podcast episode within 3 clicks. I tested it myself, meaning you can enjoy the episode whilst getting on with your day, and then when you hear a word you want to learn, unlock the phone and there it is, right under the play button. It's amazing, and did I mention, completely free for you. It cost me a fair amount of money to build, so I'd love for you to use it. So yes, do us both a favour, pause this episode, download it right now, and enjoy the free worksheet that complements this very episode. To do that, open the show notes of this episode and click the relevant link, or open your device's app store, search the British English Podcast app, or BEP, that's B-E-P. Oh, and if you're not wanting to get the app, then just head over to the website, thebritishenglishpodcast.com/freebies. That's F-R-E-E-B-I-E-S. Go on, pause, download the app and resume. You won't regret it, I promise.
Or, I mean, home has been just wherever my parents have resided.
Home is where your parents have resided.
Mm-hmm. I would say so.
Yeah. Okay. So you've had quite a few homes.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not one place, but I would always pigeonhole you to being near Wales.
You would.
The venom in that. Can you explain the venom behind your "you would"?
Yes. I see you, or I judge you, as being very narrow-minded when it comes to people outside of the greater London area.
Right.
I've never once lived in Wales, but you seem to have told everyone that you know or are related to that I come from Wales.
From my perspective, you sounded Welsh when I met you. A bit Welsh. You did. You admit that, right? You are on the border of Wales.
Correct.
And quite a few of my friends who are from around the greater London region, area, borough, they don't really know about those places. Like, they don't... I think quite a few of them know the town, Hereford.
It's a city.
Sorry. The city. The city, Hereford. Apologies, mayor. What's the mayor of Hereford called?
John Bishop.
John Bishop.
I have no idea.
Sorry, John. Sorry, Mr. Bishop, for assuming it was a town. Yeah, not many people know that name. I guess they kind of do. But anyway, yes, I'm being ignorant saying that you're from Wales, but it's easier in conversation. I actually always say near Wales.
Okay.
Anyway, so that's kind of where you're from. And we're going to go to your fondest childhood memory.
Do you not want to disclose where you were born and raised?
Okay, yes. Go on then.
I was just about to say, is this good for security reasons? Because this is definitely one of my secret answers.
Oh, don't say that!
Some kind of banking question.
Unhear people.
Where were you born and raised?
I'll throw them. I was born in Middlesbrough.
No, you weren't.
And I was raised in Dublin.
This is a lie.
Yeah. I was born and raised in Surrey, in a village called Horsley.
You were born in Horsley?
No, I was raised in Horsley. There's no hospital in Horsley. There's a veterinary. I was born just outside of London in a county called Surrey to the southwest. Stacey was born in Wales.
3 hours more west of that.
3 hours more west of that. Northwest. I looked on a map, I was quite surprised. But anyway, childhood memories. It's quite big to go straight for your fondest. So just some fond ones.
I don't know if I have a significant...
I don't have any fond memories.
I have many fond memories, but I don't know if I have one individual significant fond memory that springs to mind.
Oh, I can think of one.
For me?
Yeah.
You weren't in my childhood.
I know, but you talk about it a lot.
Okay.
One with your father, and he was pretending to be a train?
A donkey.
A donkey.
Yeah, that's quite fond.
Tell me that one.
Yeah, I feel like it's a regular toddler parent activity. But yes, I would force my my dad to give me donkey rides around the house. And I think at one point I'd even dangle a carrot in front of him, which is probably a bit offensive now, if I think about it.
But what, to donkeys?
Oh, to my dad. Both.
He'd take a carrot. Better than nothing. Yeah.
But yeah, that is a very fond memory.
And if any of you are crouching on the floor, like for a cable or something, sometimes you jump on each other and donkey ride, breaking each other's back as adults.
It is a bit of a running joke in the Benson household.
Yes. Maybe I could do that one day.
Not sure that would be...
After our wedding?
If you become a Benson, maybe.
Oh! I think I'll skip the donkey ride.
No, okay.
Any more?
I don't know why this is a fond memory. It's actually a bit of a traumatic memory of my childhood. The once when I was left to look after my lovely golden retriever, Millie, because my mum and dad went to Port Merion on a little holiday.
Where's Port Merion?
In Wales.
Oh, okay.
99% sure.
So well.
Geography is not my strong strength. But yes, I was left to look after Millie. My nanny was looking after me, my grandmother, not an actual nanny.
But you call her nanny.
But I do call her nanny, yes.
Not Nana?
No, my mum is now called Nana to her grandchildren, but my nanny was called Nanny or Nan.
Okay, your mother's mother.
My dad's mother.
Oh, your dad's mother?
Yeah.
Muriel?
Yes.
Okay.
She's Nan or she's, Nanny.
Okay, yeah, she's Muriel to me.
She's actually called Moo at one point, like Nanny Moo or...
Yeah, that's strange. Why is that?
Muriel, Moo.
Oh, what the young children couldn't really say Muriel.
Yeah.
So they'd say
Moo. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was endearing when it's like a 2-year-old, but it's a bit less when it's a 34-year-old.
Yeah. You're not 34 yet.
33 and a half, rounding up.
This really could be a fraudulent, like this episode could do us over.
Yeah, and let's please not rob our bank details or what do they do? Identity theft. Theft, that one. Yes.
Don't steal our identities.
Please. I didn't get to my memory.
Go on then.
I was looking after my lovely golden retriever and she saw, we were on a walk, a squirrel about 50 metres up in front. And the last thing my mum and dad said to me before they
Sorry
left,
to interrupt. It says fond.
Yeah, I know. Weirdly, this is a fond memory. I feel like it's a proud memory.
Okay, carry
on. Like taught me resilience and that I have the strength to do things. I don't know.
To do things.
Yes.
Okay, carry on.
Millie saw a squirrel. The last thing my mum and dad said to me before they left to go on holiday was, whatever you do, do not lose the dog.
How old were you again?
I'm going to say 6.
With a fully grown golden retriever.
Yeah.
Squirrel, yeah. Go.
Yes, Millie just decided to take off and chase this squirrel. I mean, squirrels are very tempting for probably a 3-year-old golden retriever at this stage. And I did not let go of Millie's lead. So I got dragged probably about 50 metres along gravel.
Oh.
And the side of my cheek and forehead got completely grazed, and my shoulder, my arm, my shin. It was terrible, very traumatic. But I don't know why, but I look back on that now with bizarrely some kind of fondness. I think it's because I just loved Millie. She's a perfect dog.
I think it's because you like to tell that story and it shows you've got grit.
Ah, sure, we can go with that.
Yeah, I think it does.
Do you have any significant fond memories?
I'd like to take a break from this episode to tell you that this show is funded by you, the listener. That's right. Not through a charitable donation, but through providing you with 2 hugely beneficial learning resources. One is called the Academy and the other is called the Premium Podcast. The Academy doors are currently shut until further notice, but the Premium Podcast is open for you to sign up to right now. So if you listen to this show regularly, say once a week perhaps, and you want me to continue producing it, then I need your help because this is my full-time job. And I also want to provide free education for those who really cannot afford it. But if you are in a situation where you can spare £7 a month for loads of bonus podcast content, manually edited transcripts and extended glossaries and flashcards, then I'd love you to consider supporting the show because that will give me a way to continue doing what I love to do and for those who really cannot afford it to get a free education. You can find out more by clicking the relevant link in the show notes of this episode or head over to thebritishenglishpodcast.com or download the British English Podcast app in your app store. Back to the episode. Oh, my first memory was when I put my head through a cat flap.
I haven't heard this.
No?
No.
That's my first memory of crawling around the kitchen floor in the house that you haven't been to because we had moved since, yeah, and crawling along the under the table, and then I went through the cat flap and I remember seeing the outside world very clearly. Quite fun. There wasn't much to it other than that, and then I backed out and that was it.
Oh.
That was my first one. I don't think that's a fond one. Another one, again, not fond, but I do remember.
The whole title of this question is fond.
Oh, no, I do have a fond one. So in our back garden, we used to have a little slope. It was only about 2 meters, maybe even less. But it was just enough gradient to get some speed up with those. You might need to help me out with this vocabulary. What was it called when you put a wet slide down and bubbles?
Like a slip and slide.
Slip and slide. We had a garden party at your birthday. Okay. And we would always do the slip and slide down that hill or slope. Mm-hmm. And it was so fun.
That does sound really fun, actually.
Yeah.
I need a slope. And a slip and slide.
And a paddling pool as well.
Oh, love a paddling pool.
Yes. I think that's quite cultural. Paddling pools. Most countries would probably laugh at a paddling pool.
Yeah, I do feel like it. I mean, there definitely are paddling pools in other countries, but for sure. I do think that in the UK, not many people can justify a swimming pool.
Hell no.
The expense and the upkeep is just not worth it for the summer that we typically have here. So a paddling pool just makes a lot of sense.
It does, yes. Mm. It is an inflatable
miniature swimming pool.
It's not even that.
It's a paddling pool.
Yes, to paddle is a verb meaning to walk in water at ankle height.
Oh, okay.
Isn't it?
Sure. Yeah. I would just say a little bit of splish sploosh around.
Okay. You should be a teacher, perhaps. Splish splooshing around in the summer in the slip and slide and the paddling pool.
Mm-hmm. That's a lovely childhood.
Yes. The other memory I was going to say was when my sister ate poisonous berries in the middle of a road.
Why is that fond?
No, it's not fond. It's just, and I don't think I was even alive, but everyone retells it so often that it's part of my memory.
I've also never heard of that one.
Ah, well, this is kind of why I wanted to do it, because we would get to know each other even better than we already do.
Are we preparing for marriage?
We are preparing for marriage, yes. Mm-hmm. So that is some childhood memories. Now, this is something I don't know about you. Do you have any siblings? I do know, but do tell us.
Yes, I do indeed have 2 siblings, both of them younger, because I am the eldest, and both brothers. And what's more to say?
Yeah, well, one of them signed up to the premium podcast of this. So, I mean, this bit will be in the free podcast, but what is your relationship like with them and who is your favourite?
I definitely don't have a favourite. I love them both equally. But I'd say my relationship is fairly similar with the both of them. It's always been a very close and loving, caring relationship.
I think it has been. I noticed that when you left for America all those years ago, they were distraught. And I was surprised by that. My family is great. We love each other very much. But, you know, we're quite comfortable with having time apart in different countries.
I disagree. I think
Laura lives in Australia.
Yes, but I think some other members of your family are distraught about people leaving.
Okay, one of the 3 children. But again, I don't think she was that bad. She was that bothered until she had 3 kids and she wanted some aunts and uncles around.
You're going to say unkies?
Unkies. It's quite cute, actually. Unky Charlie. Yeah.
You are admitting to having some siblings yourself.
Oh, very good. Yes. I have 2 sisters, both older. So that's a difference for us. Mm-hmm. I'm the youngest. You're the oldest. Mm-hmm. I'm more mature. You're very immature.
Disagree.
I'm very, you know, plan. I don't even know how to say the word. I'm very good at planning.
And you're very organized?
That one, I'm very organized. I've got my shit together.
That is a lie.
It's the opposite.
Do you think that stems from you being the baby of the family? Really?
I think it probably does shape one's personality.
Interesting.
Yeah, because you've always had to be the lead of the 3. You've always had to be in control of the situation. Just little things like babysitting them.
Yeah, I suppose. I've never really kind of acknowledged or, I guess, analysed the dynamic.
Well, now's the time.
Of a sibling age relationship. The psychology of birth order.
Let me say it. The psychology of birth order, actually.
It's Bravo.
Do you know what your level of English is? If not, then how can you tell if you're even improving? Considering you are no longer a beginner in this journey, you should be doing everything you can to show to yourself that your hard work is paying off. To do that, you need to know where you're at right now to be able to recognise the progress in the future. So, I have a quick and easy English level test for you to take right now for free to instantly find out what level of English you actually have. Head to thebritishenglishpodcast.com/testme or find the link in the show notes of this episode. Another thing about being the youngest is that you don't tend to get as many rules thrown at you. Did you have more rules?
True. I had definitely more rules. My parents were much stricter on me growing up.
What kind of rules? Let's go there.
I wasn't allowed to swear at all. So I wasn't allowed to say anything. Even I wasn't allowed to say fart.
Fart?
Or crap. Those were both considered.
Crap is a bit more of a swear word.
Fart, though.
But fart is not. You sound so posh.
How would I have normally said?
Fart.
Fart. Fart.
Fart.
Fart.
Let's not say that constantly.
Crap, fart,
all right.
Bloody. Those were the three really frowned upon words.
Your mum's going to be calling you up when she listens to this one. But that's incredible. Mm. What age, though?
All age, really. It's only been...
All ages.
Throughout my whole childhood, I would say, it's only really been in the last...
year.
5 years. I would say close to 30 that I now feel comfortable dropping a swear word.
Dropping the word fart.
I mean, maybe not fart. Fart,
stop
crap.
Saying fart.
Fart, crap and bloody definitely were allowed maybe when my brothers started to use it more. But I mean, they never even had that rule. They were only banned or like frowned upon for saying, am I allowed to swear?
Yeah.
For saying like shit, fuck.
Whoa. Big words, madam.
Yeah.
It's only when necessary. I love your parents.
Or bugger.
And I love the way that they've raised every individual of your family. But your brothers do have potty mouths.
They do.
They're very comfortable with it.
Yeah.
And they're comfortable saying it in front of your family.
Yeah.
That's a difference from my family.
Mm-hmm.
But still going back to you being the eldest child, you weren't allowed to swear at all, and then they were.
Mm-hmm.
Did you think that was annoying?
Not annoying. I think I liked being the goody two shoes. And
say that phrase again.
Goody two shoes.
The goody two shoes.
Yeah.
It means the very well behaved person.
Yeah.
Think of Hermione Granger in Harry Potter.
Yeah. Usually it's a bit of a kind of an annoyingly obnoxious kind of well-behaved person, someone that thrives from being well-behaved.
I just thought about Hermione. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are book smart or
no.
A bookworm.
Mm-mm.
It just means you're a bit annoying and really well-behaved.
Yes.
Goody two shoes. It was a phrase that was thrown around as a young boy or a young girl at somebody who's being really annoyingly good. Such a goody two shoes.
Yes.
Okay, so that's you in a nutshell. You are a goody two shoes. Thinking about
it. I'll take it. I'm okay with that.
You won't even say fart.
I say fart all the time now. Because you fart all the
time. All right. What about mine? Because, you know, you're meant to ask me some questions back.
What question are we on? What was the favourite thing to do? That's not the question. It was about your relationship with your sisters?
Yeah, we went off script.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Mm-hmm. It was about birth order, the psychology of birth order or birth order psychology.
I think your relationship or dynamic with your sisters definitely has been influenced by the psychology of birth order.
Yeah.
You need to Google that to get that right. Because I do think you identify with being the youngest, use that to your advantage. So, you know, if you accidentally miss someone's birthday or forget to do something or whatever it may be, I feel like you play the I'm the baby card.
Yeah. Birth order psychology.
Okay, thanks.
Or birth order theory by Alfred Adler. I remember that one, actually. Yes, I do play up to that sometimes. I think it's also to do with personality, but then, you know, does that stem from it?
I'm sure this could be a whole podcast.
It could
episode.
Be. My eldest sister is a doctor, and so she is very book smart. And so that kind of led the pack because she was the clever one and we were not as clever and we were younger. So she was always...
Did you always feel a bit inferior?
I never said to myself every night, I don't want to be Laura. I never wanted to be that smart, I don't think. I mean, do we ever say that? Did you ever want to be smarter than you are? Or how do you? Now?
Definitely now, for sure. Yeah, I am rapidly just becoming dumber by the day, definitely.
That's your Instagram.
Instagram is killing those brain cells. I think in the time of school and when I was actually studying or trying to be academic, I think I probably wanted to be a little bit smarter than I was to maybe just find things a bit easier, maybe. I think I did have to work quite hard to get good grades.
Right.
It didn't just come naturally, though I did secretly study quite hard.
Oh, yes. You hid this from your friends.
Yes.
This is culturally specific.
Is it now?
I mean, some Asian cultures are very comfortable with, you know, focusing entirely on the academic world.
I think it's a peer group thing, though, maybe as well, because I think some peer groups in my school were also very comfortable being academic, and there would almost be a bit of competition to be the smartest in the group, or it was considered cool to be an overachiever. Maybe not cool, but it was commendable.
Oh, really?
Is that right? Whereas in my peer group, it was not.
And that is because you originally were in a private school in primary school, right? And then you moved to a state school. Mm-hmm. I went to a state school and I was told that it was the best in the county and we were very lucky to be there. But you said mine looked like a prison. I showed you it proudly and you said, "You went there? That looks like a prison, Charlie. You went to prison."
It's not the most architecturally designed school. So it does look a little bit prison-y.
Yeah, it's getting demolished, actually, and being moved across the road. But yeah, back to you. So you went from a private school. Mm-hmm. And what did you say to yourself when you left a private school to a state school?
I think that's a loaded question because you know what I said.
Very good. It's a loaded question. I like that. I like that a lot.
I think I vowed to not become stupid because I was under the impression that the quality of education was less in a state school, which is highly incorrect. I actually think I got a better education or a better level of teaching in my state school compared to my former public/private school days.
Yeah, again, this could be another whole podcast because state schools versus public schools or no, private. Oh, no, I said that right, actually, in England. That's a different thing in every single country. It's massive, the change, the difference, even up to university. Mm. So for us, the stereotype, correct me if I'm wrong, state school people are quite comfortable, very happy to go to a state school. And they look at private schoolers as snobs, posh, and
up themselves
in an arrogant way and not necessarily clever. I felt like we looked at them as in they had all the resources, but not necessarily that they are all very talented.
Yeah, I think I definitely witnessed that. Yeah, because I think also in where I grew up, some people could pay to get into a kind of... Their parents could make a voluntary donation or contribution to the school and they could then be bumped up the list.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. But I do want to clarify that as an adult, I don't think that. But it's interesting to understand what we thought growing up.
Mm.
And in a private school, you look, people would look at state schools as in, what would you say?
Chaos.
Chaos.
Yes. I think we always thought that they were a lot bigger, which they were.
Physically?
Yeah, physically bigger and more. I mean, in terms of numbers, student numbers.
Oh, not everyone was a giant. Anyone 6 foot and under go to the private school?
No, I mean, in private school, I thought the state schools were much more overcrowded because I think I never had a class above like 20 or 30 students, maybe even less. I feel like it was actually maybe 15 to 20 students. And then in my secondary school, it'd probably be more like 40.
Whoa, 40? We had 30 to 32, never any more than 32.
Really? But how many were in a year as well?
We had 8 forms, so 8 times 30.
Wow, yeah, massive. Chaos. Yeah. Carnage.
Well, it was a prison. Got locked up at night. That's school. Toys. Let's go there. Toys and games.
No, I think that's boring. That's
no,
boring.
No.
I didn't have any toys or games.
Polly in my pocket. You can't get more culturally specific.
I did actually have a Furby.
Polly in my pocket. Oh, Furbies! No, maybe they were worldwide. I wonder if...
I never had a Polly Pocket, and it's not called Polly in my pocket. Called a Polly Pocket.
My head has just exploded. Is it not Polly in my pocket? Yes, it is. I've just Googled it.
It's called a Polly Pocket.
No, that's a shorthand. Polly Pocket, large wearables. Oh, okay. But it came up as Polly in my pocket. No, it's both. It's definitely both. Okay, yeah. So it's Polly Pocket. What is it? It's a plastic little figurine or doll in a tiny, tiny plastic capsule.
Container. Like a Tupperware, what you put, or like a lunchbox. You open it up and there's a Polly Pocket world in there.
Yeah, it's like a dollhouse in a lunchbox.
Yes.
Nice. And then the guy's version, do you remember that?
No, I actually never had a Polly Pocket.
Mighty Max?
Never heard of it.
Yeah, Mighty Max. Yeah, it was basically a skull and you'd open it. Oh, it's so good. There were lots of them. But I had the one with the skull.
Wow, I've never seen them. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So like a
masculine Polly Pocket.
Okay.
Or a male Polly Pocket.
No, more masculine. Masculine. I don't think you can say male now.
Correct. Because... I stand corrected. Yes. So those are some toys. Mm-hmm. You had a Tamagotchi.
Tamagotchi.
I had a Tamagotchi. I was quite good. Were you good? I think you were. You were
goody
good. Two-shoes.
I was goody two-shoes. Mine lived the longest.
I can really imagine that. And then I think your brother Hugo would have like broken the actual device.
Yeah, I mean, he was just not interested in Tamagotchis.
I can imagine what he'd say right now. Loser, Charlie.
He was way too busy playing football or, you know, just hanging out on the streets.
Yeah. Can you go into that a bit? So what was his life like, would you say, his childhood? So he would come back from school on his own? Like, would he walk home?
At a certain age.
Yeah, what age?
Well, actually, we always had to be picked up because we never lived that close to our school. Okay. So my mum or dad would always pick us up from school. Hugo, especially the youngest, had quite a lot of after school activities because he was quite
such as
sporty, so he played a lot of football, mostly football, I would say. He played a lot of football. I think he played for a few different teams. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he would do that. But to be honest, I think this is highlighting that I don't have a very good memory of my childhood. It's a bit of a cloudy.
You definitely had one, didn't you?
I was alive as a child, yes.
But he got into...
I can't remember, much stuff.
Okay, well, yeah.
I can only barely remember the Tamagotchi. Like, barely.
What about playground games?
Mm-mm.
40-40?
I can't remember playground.
Stuck in the mud?
Stuck in the mud, yeah. But I only know what it is. I can't remember ever playing it.
Are you joking?
No, I'm not. Like, I really have really terrible, like, specific memory. I can't remember people's names from school. I can't remember so much.
You can't remember the first person you married, quote unquote.
I never married anyone.
Did you not?
No.
Nor did I.
You were waiting for me.
Oh. We will leave it there for part one of today's episode. Thank you very much for listening up to this point. If you did want to listen to part two and part three of this conversation, then you can head over to thebritishenglishpodcast.com and check out the premium podcast or academy memberships. The premium podcast gives you access to the full conversation along with extended glossaries, transcripts, and flashcards, whereas the academy gives you all of that plus exclusive videos and audios for the season-based episodes, explaining the vocabulary, exampling them, giving you quizzes, writing assignments, and weekly speaking classes on Zoom. But if you were just here for part one of this conversation, then I thank you very much for stopping by. I hope you enjoyed the show. Do grab that free worksheet by clicking the link in the show notes. My name's Charlie, and I will see you next week on the British English Podcast.